start by laying out three basic principles of operations research. Operations research should focus on studying existing health programs, which are the key for healthcare delivery. And this ensures that the solutions are realistic and the problems that are studied are realistic as well. They should focus on trying to improve the programs. This means improve all these issues that are listed here: access to services, quality, cost effectiveness, and improvement on health outcomes. And this is one of the most important issues, that the results should be used in whatever way to try to improve the programs. So implementing new strategies, influencing policy, and well, they should be very clearly disseminated. So these are some basic strategies as well to try to guarantee that the research that you do has some impact on policy. I think the key issue here is to involve the decision makers in all the steps of the research process, since the identification of the problem to the development of recommendations. And you have to work hard on presenting the results in a clear way and, well, again, disseminate the results widely. So I'm going to talk about some examples from Mozambique. So going back to Africa, Mozambique is in the southeastern part of Africa. I list some of the main epidemiological problems that Mozambique is facing. 16% of the adult population is infected with HIV. There is a high prevalence of syphilis, malaria, tuberculosis, malnutrition. And Health Alliance International has traditionally worked in these two provinces of the central region, that are Manica and Sofala, that are the provinces that have the highest prevalence of HIV. Even in the city where I live, is Beira, the prevalence is nearly 40% right now in the adult population. So I'm going to present three examples of operations research, or sets of operations research, that we have developed in collaboration with the Ministry of Health. The first two are focused on antenatal care in an effort to try to guarantee implementation of an integrated package of antenatal care. The first example is related with the congenital syphilis prevention program. We did several studies in this area. The first, and we use different methods, so I'm going to describe them briefly and then show some of the results. So we analyzed information that has been routinely collected by maternal and child health nurses in the health facilities that were doing syphilis screening. And this is one issue that is very relevant. There is a lot of information that is routinely collected and available in the health facilities, in the health system, but it's not being used. So we tried to use the information that was already collected. We rolled out the implementation of a rapid syphilis test for antenatal screening. We compared the performance of this rapid test to a gold standard composed by different tests that I won't have the time to describe here, but you can find other publications related to this study. We did an evaluation of the provider satisfaction using a SM structure interview, and I'm not going to present results here, so I say that all the providers liked more the rapid test because they found it very easy to perform, reliable, and provided like empowerment to the health providers because they were able to do the test on site and give the result during the consultation and treat the pregnant woman if the test was positive. And we did a study on cost effectiveness. So here is the routine data. the screening. And here we see in 2003 we started this intervention, and we can see that the proportion of women tested for syphilis in antenatal care increased 40%. So during the first phase of the intervention, we introduced the rapid test, that is the blue line, in health facilities with and without laboratory to see if the nurses accepted to do this test and well, how was the performance. And after the first 3 months, we only performed this test in the health facilities without laboratory. So basically, this increase in the coverage of the services was due to the fact that the health facilities without laboratory started screening for syphilis. So these are the results of the comparison of the performance of the different tests. So we looked at the sensitivity and specificity of the rapid test compared to the RPR, that is the test that is used normally to screen women in antenatal care in these settings. And, well, to remind people here, the sensitivity is the ability of the test to detect correctly the positive cases, the real positive cases, and the specificity is the ability of the test to detect as negative the true negative cases. And it was clear that when the rapid test was performed in the health facility level, in the reference laboratory, was performed much better than the RPR. So we can see here that with the rapid test, we lose the ability to identify 14% of the women that were positive, and with the RPR, 28% of the women that were positive. So this represents a huge improvement in the ability to detect real positive cases. And the cost-effectiveness study demonstrated that comparing to the RPR, each rapid test costed 12 cents more. Each rapid test cost 12 cents more than the RPR, but the effectiveness of using this test is much better for the public health. So it's clearly more cost effective. I have some handouts, and you can see that there are some publications where you can find this information as well. So here we see a trend of the prevalence of syphilis between 1998 and 2006. We can see a clear decline in the prevalence, starting from approximately 14% to between 4 and 5% currently. So it's a success. And the implications of all this set of studies for the policy decision making was clear. The use of the rapid test was approved by the Ministry of Health to be used in all health facilities without laboratory countrywide. And the syphilis screening, well, we have been working for approximately 3 years with the Ministry of Health trying to develop new antenatal care forms and new registries to guarantee that this integrated package of services is provided consistently in all health facilities. And this test, well, the syphilis screening and this test were included in these new registry books and forms. And we are testing over 100,000 women yearly in antenatal care in Sofala and Manica. And the second piece is a study that we like a pilot study to see the feasibility of introducing the intermittent preventive therapy for malaria during pregnancy. So this basically consists in providing women pregnant women, 3 doses of sulfadoxin pyrimethamine as direct observed therapy during antenatal care if they follow some criteria or if they fall into certain criteria. And we also counsel women on the use of insecticide-treated bed nets to prevent malaria. And this whole process was accompanied by close supervision and technical support. And we did a cross-sectional study to determine the malaria parasitemia and hemoglobin levels in pregnant women that were receiving the intervention. So we saw that in a sample of approximately 9,000 women, the antenatal care nurses performed very well. They administered correctly the intervention to 98% of the women in the first antenatal visit and 97% in the second visit. That was great. And the use of insecticide-treated bed nets increased from 4.5 to 13%. And in other studies, we found that the main limitation to access of insecticide-treated bed nets was the cost. We were doing, when we did this study, we were using a voucher system to distribute the bed nets. Now we are advocating strongly for the free distribution of bed nets for all pregnant women. And in terms of malaria parasitemia, it was clear that there was a decrease in the prevalence of malaria from 37% in women that didn't receive any dose to 2.83% for women that received 2 doses. This the woman receiving 3 doses, the group of women receiving 3 doses was very small, so this number is not significant. And the prevalence of anemia was much lower in women receiving sulfadoxin pyrimethamine as well. The implications for policy decision making, there was a development of a national policy for IPT and for this, including the distribution of bed nets independently of the HIV status of the woman. And this information is also included in the antenatal registry books that are being developed. And currently, all health facilities in Sofala and Manica are offering this service. So over 85% of the women attending antenatal care in these health facilities are receiving the intervention. An important issue that was pointed out during this study was the need to monitor incompatibilities between different programs that are provided in the same service, like the potential secondary effects of a woman receiving cotrimoxazole, sulfadoxin pyrimethamine, or nivirapine, and can increase the rate of toxic effects of these drugs. And up to date, I thought that this study was publicated in the bulletin of the World Health Organization. So this is what has happened with the coverage of the services in these two provinces of Mozambique. We have seen a clear trend in the improvement of the coverage of these services. I'm putting here like the 3 new programs that we have advocated to include in the new prenatal forms. We see here 93% of women are receiving syphilis testing, 76% received IPT, and 63% are receiving PMTCT services. The third example is the integration of the tuberculosis and HIV programs. So in 2005, we started a pilot project to test, improve the testing of TB patients for HIV, because it was very low, and the rate of co-infection is very high in this population. We started training the TB program staff to counseling and testing, and improve the referral of the HIV positive patients, the co-infected patients, to HIV clinics, and started providing cotrimoxazole prophylactic therapy for the co-infected patients, and improve the education about HIV for all the patients. So in 2006, all health facilities in the province where we started were doing the testing for HIV, and currently 70% of the TB patients are being tested for HIV by the TB program staff, and other patients already come with the diagnosis. We see 65% of those patients are HIV positive, and 99% of them are receiving cotrimoxazole prophylaxis, and approximately 25% of those patients are also receiving antiretroviral treatment. So we saw that after we started the intervention, the average of patients also, the average of patients being tested, like that were tested for HIV coming from the tuberculosis program, clearly increased from 25 percent per month for 25 per month to 184 per month, and these results have been sustained over time. And the number of patients that were coming to an HIV clinic also increased significantly from 49 to 96 per month after we started the intervention. So this study also clearly showed had an implication for policy decision making. It demonstrated that integration and scale up of this intervention was possible at a low cost. That was an effective strategy to link two vertical programs with overlap population, and it was adopted by Mozambique as a national policy, and now is being implemented in all the country. So it is possible, but you have to be very persistent to achieve change.
Different models and ways.